want us to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And my message today is about grasping God's wisdom. How many of you know that you can go to school, and going to school can make you feel really smart or make you feel really dumb, depending on the teacher, you know, or depending on your friends? Because you get there and you work on stuff and you try to take the test, and what happens? You fail it, you know, and you don't do well. But I want you to see something in the Word of God. God promises us that we can ace every test that the world puts in front of us. Everyone. That we don't have to be stupid. We don't have to be not quite with it. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't. That God has unlimited knowledge for us anytime we need it. We will never come into a situation. I want you to hear me on this. You'll never come into a situation in your life where you will not know what to do. God will always show you what to do. And I've seen that time and time in my life where I was faced with a seemingly impossible situation, and God gives me enough of his knowledge so that I know exactly what to do. And I do it, and then God just comes through. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to say, first of all, that 1 Corinthians 2 is one of my, I would say it's my central passage in the Scripture for my entire life. So when I have this passion about what Paul said in this particular chapter. I believe it has to do with what I am as a person, and it has to do with the season that we're in as a people. And I believe that that's part of the message that I have to give to people, is this message in 1 Corinthians 2. So if you look in chapter 2, verse 1, everybody there, wave your hand real quick if you're there. If you're either looking at the screen or you got it on your own screen, it says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." So Paul was a very educated man, but when he came to preach, he did not use that education to convince them about Jesus. He says, I made a decision to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, so the secret for heavenly knowledge as a Christian is not studying more. It's not, you know, doing this or that. It's not trying to be a brainiac. It's not trying to this or that. It is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus and him crucified is the number one thing you need to know in life. And if you don't know it, you're going to miss it. But if you know Jesus and him crucified, you're going to find out that you'll have everything that you need. But you have to start with Jesus, and you have to stay with Jesus, and you have to finish with Jesus. You need to let him be the master of your mind, and you have to let it be Jesus and him crucified. Now, I'm going to give you a little Jewish insight, okay? The Jewish insight, when Paul said, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God, okay, the testimony, everybody say testimony. That word in Greek is the exact same. That had a meaning to a Jewish person. And what was the meaning to the Jewish person? That word testimony meant to a Jew the Ten Commandments. I was let that sink in a little bit. To a Jewish person, they called it the Ark of the Testimony. Why was the Ark of the Covenant called the Ark of the Testimony? Because inside the Ark was what? The Ten Commandments, written down by the finger of God. We have them on the wall right over there. Okay? So Paul said, "When I come to you, I did not come to you proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I did not come to teach you about the Ten Commandments with great wisdom. I'm not going to be this really smart Jewish teacher talking to you about the Ten Commandments. Now, let's think about this for 1 second. Moses gave us Ten Commandments from the mountain of God. How many commandments did Jesus give us? One. One commandment. And then any kind of added, by the way, right? Yes. Okay, so we have something where Paul said, look, here's what I'm coming. I'm not going to come to masterfully teach you about the Ten Commandments. I'm going to teach you about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The only important thing that you need to hear from God is about Jesus and Him crucified and risen from the dead. Can someone say amen to that? Because I'm telling you, too many Christians, we live in a very religious community. They take all their time teaching about the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament, and therefore you get a bunch of confused denominations and splits over arguing over the Scriptures. But if we simply said, all I want to know is Jesus and Him crucified, raised from the dead, then you know what happened to Christians? They'll start working together. They're still not getting into their own thing. And we don't want to sit here. I'm telling you, we don't want to teach our kids all about the law. Why? Because Paul didn't worry about that, did he? He said, I'm here to teach you about Jesus. I want you to hear about Jesus. I want you to hear about Him crucified. Because if you know that, then you know you're on the steps to know everything that God has for you. Jesus, it's about Him. And I've seen churches just go off arguing about this and about that. And they're arguing out of the Old Testament. They're not talking about Jesus. You know, amen. Okay. So here's my point. God wants us, let's go on. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and message were not in, and I, the ESV says plausible. I think it's better to say persuasive or convincing words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and in power. In other words, I'm not here. I'm not here to persuade you with good speech, to move you with a great speech. Come on, we've seen people with that gifting. They study it. They travel it. The two presidential candidates were coached in how to be persuasive with speech. It's not about the persuasiveness of speech. It's about the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And if somebody preaches and they're persuasive and the Holy Spirit does not show up, you're missing it. We need Holy Spirit to show up. My prayer every time I come to minister, anywhere I go, is, God, I don't care if I say this right. I just want you to show up. I want you to show up, and I want you to come. It says a demonstration of the Spirit. And if you, I didn't count them all up for you, but I challenge you to count up the uses of the word Spirit in this one chapter. Paul is saying it's not about the written scripture stuck in a box somewhere. It's about the presence of the Holy Spirit that came because Jesus Christ is crucified and risen from the dead. That's what it's all about. He's given us the Holy Spirit for everything that we need. Whatever it is that you need, you've got the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ inside of you. The Spirit of Christ on you, and we need to teach people about the Spirit of God. We need to encourage them to step into the Spirit of God. We need the people to understand when the Spirit is talking to them, when the Spirit is moving, how to cultivate the gifts of the Spirit. That means God has gifts for His church of the Spirit. And we've got churches that deny the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they're putting their confidence in the written letter and not the presence of the Spirit. Paul said, that's not my ministry. I'm not going to sit here talking to you about some stuff. When Jesus said, look, here's your commandment. You've got it. Love one another. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto, you know, you. There's my commandment. There it is. What do you proclaim? Jesus and him crucified. And I'll give you an example of this. It was so hard for people to get a hold of it. That's the thing that we don't seem to get. Once you become saved, I think it's easy to forget that it's really hard for people to receive the truth of Jesus and him crucified. There would be no gospel if there wasn't Jesus Christ crucified. Can someone say amen to that? If it was just Jesus coming to the earth and doing a bunch of miracles, that's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Jesus giving you all this great wisdom and parables and stuff. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. That's what it's all about. And see, the enemy hates that above all things. And the thing is, the crucifixion is the most reliable piece of history that the world has ever seen. Out of all the things that happened in history 2,000 years ago, the testimony that Jesus was died on the cross has been attested to by people who hated him and by people who loved him. And people didn't care. So there's nothing more historically persuasive than Jesus Christ on the cross. You can't, nobody denies it. Even today, atheists cannot, will not say that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They can't, because the evidence is so strong. Okay? So the evidence is strong, plus we know that if you encounter Jesus, you know he's crucified. Why? The Apostle Thomas, what happened? He said, I won't believe unless I see the what? The cross. See what I'm saying? I can't believe unless I have evidence of the cross. He saw Jesus do all these miracles, right? But I have to see the cross. I have to encounter the cross. All right, so let's look at a couple of those scriptures. You ready? Look at Luke 18, verse 31. Turn to your Bibles in Luke 18, 31. It's hard for us to think or understand, if you talk to other people, why they can't believe in the crucifixion of Jesus. They just can't do it. You know why? You'll find out here. The apostles, the disciples, could not believe it. Look here. Luke 18, 31, taking the 12, Jesus said to them, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he, the Son of Man, will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Look what happened. Look what Luke says. But they understood none of these things. Why? This saying was hidden from them. It was a secret. It was a mystery. That's the Greek. We get our word Greek from the Greek word mystery. We get our English word from it. It was hidden from them. It had to be revealed. You see, even the apostles did not believe in Jesus being crucified until they experienced him resurrected from the dead. They had to experience it for themselves. Jesus told them from the scriptures. He explained to them from the Bible. He explained all of this stuff, and they could not believe. The only way you can believe in the resurrection of Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can know. Do you really believe that? Or do you think that somehow if you just study a little bit harder, you'll get it? Or maybe someone will holler at you some more and preach it. Somehow you'll get it. No, it doesn't work that way. The only way that you can learn that Jesus was truly on the cross and resurrected is by the Holy Spirit. You are saved here because of Holy Spirit. That's the only reason why you're here. God just said, I'm going to show him what that really means. To have faith in Jesus and on the cross. Okay. This is his gospel. If you were to say, okay, what did Paul preach? Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15. And this would be a great scripture for you to memorize or to really know well. So if someone asks you, well, what's the gospel? Here it is. Paul said this, for I delivered to you as of first importance. Everybody say first importance. Nothing before it. This is number one. What I also received, Say it after me. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the first thing. Second thing, He was buried. Number three, He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul doesn't stop there. Now, you think that's the gospel, isn't it? What happened? Next verse, please. He appeared. He appeared. He appeared. How did Peter, Cephas is Peter's name, how did Peter believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Jesus appeared to him. First to Cephas, keep going, next, then to the 12, did I do that right? Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Brothers means brothers and sisters, not just guys, sorry. Most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. That means they died, okay? Not that they sat in church too long and fell asleep from a boring message. Then he appeared to James. That's his brother. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, as the one in Tommy born, he appeared also to me. That's our testimony, that last word. Can we say that? Last of all, he appeared to me. Can we say that? Last of all, he appeared to me. It is only through the manifestation of Jesus by the Holy Spirit that you can believe in the gospel. You can believe it. Now, I was raised in a church. Went to church every Sunday. I went to Sunday school and learned all the stories. Learned all the stories in the Old Testament. Samson, learned the stories about Jonah and the whale, all that stuff. Then I heard about Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, but I was never born again. I never received it. It's not that I didn't want to. I believed it. I mean, I thought, yeah, this is good. All right, I'll take it. I was raised my whole life that way. But I became born again when he appeared to me. When the Holy Spirit changed me. It was Holy Spirit. This is what Paul is saying. The only message you can get is when the Holy Spirit preaches it to you. What does it say? The demonstration of the Spirit and power. Demonstration means manifestation. Demonstration means if Ted were trying to tell me how to build a roof line that's correct, he can talk it all up he wants to, but I won't get it. I guarantee it. But if I look at him do it and watch him do it and experience it, then I start to go, oh, that's how it really works. There's a demonstration. I need a demonstration. You need a demonstration. We all need a demonstration of the Spirit. And let me tell you, that defines what church is every time we gather together. Church is a place of the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Woe is me as a preacher if I try to give you a bunch of head knowledge without any demonstration of Holy Spirit. We gotta have it. It's not following through a ritual, guys. It's not just reading off a page. It's what I did for so many years. It's demonstration of Spirit and power. I will never forget. Never forget, I was teaching at the Bible school and Jack Sisler came to visit. How many of you remember Jack Sisler? Those of you who've been here a while know him. He's an apostle that was so important for revival years ago, and he used to come here on a regular basis. This happened here in the living room. I'll tell you about what happened in the living room. We're in the living room having a mission meeting. He's going to share with us about missions. And your natural mind is, oh, I want to hear about missions. Okay, well, we'll put up with that because he'll just tell us about, this and that, and these people need this, and you know what I'm saying. Oh, we need to build houses here, and we need to give food to these people, and those people need blah, blah, blah. And he just started sharing the heart of God, and the power of God hit there, and we are crying our eyes out from an encounter with the Holy Spirit. crying our eyes out all over the floor. Those of you that are there, can you say amen? This is what happened. And Tim Manning, my friend Tim, my buddy Tim, got his call to be a missionary that night. Why? Because of a Holy Spirit encounter. That's what changes things, is when you have a demonstration of the Spirit. What was the power of God coming? We got so hit by the Holy Spirit, we just had to cry. It's not like I tried to work it up. And I don't cry a whole lot, but when God comes, I do. Why? It wasn't his presentation. It wasn't his ability to preach. It wasn't his ability to get you, to get you motivated or whatever. He just invited Holy Spirit to come. And that's what we need as a people. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we just ask you to just increase our ability to be led by the Spirit. Increase our ability, Lord, to hear your voice. Increase our ability, Lord, to not be stuck in words. Not be stuck with trying to be this or that or being smart or not. Just teach us how to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, direct us, give us what we need. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can focus on Jesus and him crucified, and you can take care of the rest. You got this, Lord. You got this, that when you were raised from the dead, that's all you needed to do for us, is that we got the whole package with the resurrection and the crucifixion. And we thank you for faith, our faith in that resurrection and crucifixion, that Jesus died for us. He was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared to James. And then he appeared to Paul. And then he appeared, lastly of all, to me. Thank you, Jesus. We're just so grateful.